So let's pray together. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to trust God's going to speak to our hearts and help us to think rightly. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father, we bless your name this morning. We thank you for the privilege, the honor, just to come on Sunday mornings and to study your word together. I thank you for your beautiful word. Your word is so powerful in our lives. Wise women are women who know your word, who study your word, who take and make the most of every opportunity to learn it, to think it, to live it. And so, Father, we're so forgetful. So we're here again this morning to bring our hearts to your word that you might speak into our lives. And we just ask this morning that you would bless every home represented, that you would speak very personally into our hearts now as we study. And we just want to ask you to give us attention and focus this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, when your baby is born, you have so many dreams for that baby, right? And you are so, I mean, and if you're breastfeeding, you're really just like this. I mean, you are just so bonded. And we love our children so very much. And then you take time as they're growing and you're carefully raising your children and you're carefully tending to them, nurturing them, you're guiding them, and you're watching over them. And you know what else you're doing? You're disciplining them. Right? Did you discipline your children? I love the proverb that says a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. We know children need discipline. Do children like discipline? They don't. They don't like it. And so this morning we're going to be thinking about our own lives and the very fact that when we were born again, we were babies and we had a spiritual father who watched over us, who is guiding us, who is nurturing us, who loves us, who is carefully maturing us. And here's what I want to say this morning. He's going to discipline us. And do we like it? No, we do not. And so this morning we're going to think about discipline. We want to think rightly about discipline because that is a very important thing that God does in our lives. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And that verse says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We're going to talk about that word in just a minute. This is God's will for us as his children, that we be sanctified. All right, let's go to another verse. Look at Ephesians 1:4. It says there that it's his will that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God's primary concern for us is our holiness. And I want you to write that on your handout. It's not so much your happiness. His concern for you is that you be holy. And that is what sanctification is. Let's write it down. It's the process of God intervening in our lives through many different means in order to make us holy. Let me expand that a little bit. He's got goals for you like we have for our own children. We want them to grow up. We want them to be responsible members of society. We want them to be people of integrity, people who pay their bills, people who do right, walk rightly. We've got goals for them, and we're carefully trying to direct them into those paths. God has the same thing for us. He wants us to be holy. He uses many different ways to do that. And this is something that you and I need to understand about God as our Heavenly Father. And that is this, that's that we've been fully adopted into His forever family. You are a complete, fully child of His. You were bought with a price. Let me show you that in 1 Corinthians 6. There, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" Now, that happened when you were born again. The very Holy Spirit of God moved in to your body. Did you know that? And that's what Paul says. Don't you know that? Don't you realize you are a temple and that the Holy Spirit of God is in you? Go back to the verse. Whom you have from God, and then notice, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, you're to glorify God in your body. We are His very own daughters. He is in us. We're not our own anymore. We're not the boss anymore. And because we are His and we're His daughters, we need to understand He disciplines His children. All right, let's read Hebrews 12. And that's where we're going to take as our main focus this morning, because this passage deals with this very subject. We're going to start in verse 5. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons and daughters. My daughter, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. My daughter, do not faint when you are reproved by God. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And He scourges every daughter whom He receives." How many receive discipline? How many? Every child. Every child. Do you have one child that you said, "Well, forget him, I'm not going to discipline him"? No, you discipline every one of your children. Go back to the verse. "It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what child is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which how many have become partakers? How many? All. Circle that all. It's not just for some of God's children. I'm telling you, God disciplines every one of his children. And this writer says, if you don't have it, if you don't see God's discipline in your life, look what it says. Then you are illegitimate children and not really his daughters. That's telling me, when God disciplines me, that proves something to me. It shows me I'm really his. Isn't that good? Furthermore, the writer says, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. And then he makes this statement about discipline. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now that we're his, God is all involved in our lives. He's all about bringing us to a mature place in our lives. He wants us to be useful kingdom women. And because he loves us, he's determined to do that. And so this is telling us everyone is going to be a partaker of God's loving discipline. Now, if you don't know this, if you don't understand this principle, this doctrine from the Bible, you might get discouraged when God's discipline comes to you. It might just blindside you. You might tend to think God's being very unkind. It may cause you to have self-pity. Have you ever had a pity party? You might think God's just dealing harshly with you, and it might send you into discouragement. This is where you and I need to understand God's word. We need to think rightly about what God's word says. And we need to understand that sometimes God is going to use discipline to grow us, to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. And it hurts, and it's hard. So let's ask some questions this morning. Why are we going to go through discipline in the first place? And the first answer I want you to put down is, it proves that we are a genuine child of God. So in a way, you can get a little excited if God disciplines you. It's proof. It's proof that you're His child. And why does God discipline His children? Well, He does it for our own good. So write that on your handout. He's got our good in mind. And then let's write this. Discipline, then, is a tool that God uses to sanctify us, to make us holy, in other words. And so the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know who that writer is, by the way, he says, just look at the things you're suffering. He's talking. These people are suffering that he's writing. And he's saying, now ask yourself, why are you suffering? And the answer is, it's because I'm a child of God. God is doing this for my own good. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And then he puts it this way, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with daughters, for what daughter is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you're without it, you're an illegitimate child. Now look at Philippians 1:6. Paul says there, I am confident, I've learned something, girls, he says, and I'm confident of this one thing. You need to know this one thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you at salvation, you know what he's going to do? He's going to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God never starts a work in someone and leaves it incomplete. Never. I mean, if you're his, if you're truly born again, he's in you, and he is going to work in you. And he has many ways of doing it. Let's write him down. The first way that I want us to talk about is he does it through instruction in his word. And that's our best way to learn. I just said to the Lord, Lord, just let me be an obedient daughter. I don't like discipline. I've had a lot of it through the years. God, just let me learn. Let me just learn without discipline. You don't really have to take me to the woodshed. Let me just be a submissive daughter who is careful to learn so that I don't have to go through all that hard discipline. But if we don't learn the lessons that are presented to us in God's word, then God will adopt other methods. And one of those methods is one that we're seeing this morning. And it's this. It's discipline. Discipline. Discipline is not fun. But good parents understand you cannot neglect it. If you do, your children will suffer. If we will not be obedient, you know, I feel for teachers now because they have a lot of children in their classrooms who are problems. And you know what the biggest problem is? They don't have any parents disciplining them or requiring anything of them. And they're just out there. And it's sad. But if we will be obedient to the positive lessons and instructions of God's word, then maybe we don't have to go through that hard discipline. Now, discipline is done deliberately by God in our lives. Yes, it's intentional. It's a part of the process of making us mature. Have you ever experienced the discipline of the Lord? I could tell you stories in my life. And I'm old now and I've learned some lessons. But that's proof, positive, that I'm a child of God. He corrects me because he loves me. And I think I put that on our handout. And so, you know, when I know that and the discipline comes, I can even thank God for it. I can. And you know, when your children are grown, they'll thank you for the careful way you raised them. You know, my parents got really smart after I had children of my own. And I understood, oh my goodness, it's not as easy as I thought it was. But he's giving us proof that we're his children. Now, this is something that's constantly taking place in our lives, and it's being taught in so many places in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Now let's talk about that word discipline. What exactly does that word mean? Well, the fundamental meaning of the word means this. It means to train. To train. It's going to include three elements, and I want you to jot them down. It's going to include instruction. And then this one that we don't like is rebuke. And it's going to include correction. But the ultimate goal of it is maturity. Maturity. There's nothing sadder than to see a child who won't grow up, who won't become mature. And then write this down. It doesn't have any element of condemnation in it. Because look at Romans 8:1, and you need to know this verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God is not getting you for something you did. No. You see, discipline puts its eyes on the future. So write that down. Here's what discipline does. God says, because I love you and I am going to push you toward maturity, I'm going to discipline you with a future goal in mind. I want you to become more in Christ. But condemnation has its eyes on the past, and it says this, because you did that, I'm getting you. God never says that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But he does discipline us. And he usually does it through circumstances. So we need to learn. We need to be thinking. We need to be watching in our lives. We need to be on the alert. Things that are happening in our lives, they're not by chance. They're not accidental. You know what? God knows it all. He even knows when a little sparrow falls to the ground. He's very, very concerned with your circumstances. Nothing can happen to us apart from God. They have a purpose. Our circumstances have a purpose. And we need to be looking and watching for the lessons that God is doing in our lives. So if something comes in my life, God, what are you doing? God, why is this here? God, what do I need to learn in this situation? Sometimes as I think about my trials in my life, things I've gone through, where I feel like God really disciplined me. You know what I say about those times? I say they're the worst, best times. They're the worst because they were very hard and they were painful. They're the best because God used those things to get my attention and to grow me and to make me more useful for his kingdom. And but you see, how I think about it is so important. Discipline is necessary, girls. God designed them to sanctify us, to grow us, not to punish us, not to hurt us. Are they hard? Yes, they're hard. But God allows them in order to discipline and to train us. These Hebrew Christians that were getting this letter that was being written were being extremely persecuted for their faith. Their goods had been stolen. Their homes had been destroyed because they were Christians. They were confused about their circumstances, and I'm sure they were asking God, why is this going on? And this comes as an answer to their question right here in Hebrews chapter 12. You ever have a friend to say, why are things happening to me? I don't understand why. You can take them to Hebrews 12. You can walk them right through this passage. And you can show them things happen in our lives. God uses things in our lives that will help them. We need to understand this about life. And it's a mystery. It's hard to understand. But it is the clear teaching of the Bible that we must realize that all things that happen in our lives have a significance. Things happen with our health. Things happen in our careers. Things happen in our home. But God has a purpose that He's going to bring to pass in our lives. And He wants to use it to grow us. And we need to learn to be examining our lives and the happenings in our lives so that we can discover what God is teaching us. Well, let's write down some reasons that God might discipline me. Here's the first one I want you to write down. And it's because of faults. Here's the first fault that God might be correcting in me. And of course, it would be this, spiritual pride. Put that down. Now, you know, every one of us is a work in progress. Amen? You see, Paul had been given this very rare and unusual experience in his life. And he wasn't permitted to write about it, and I'm really mad about it. But he was caught up, the Bible says, to the third heaven. That's like God's heaven. And what he experienced there and the wonder there was amazing. And so because he had had that experience, God gave him a thorn in the flesh that kept him from exalting himself, from having spiritual pride. Here's another thing we have to watch out for. Another reason discipline might come. It's because of self-confidence. You see, it's so easy when things are going good in our lives and we're gifted people and we're smart, and it's so easy just to, you know, rely on ourselves, our own gifts, our own strength. And here's the third thing. It's the danger of being attracted by the world. You see, the world is just dangling its little baubles all around us all the time. It's got its own outlook, its own ways, and it's always trying to pull us in, and it's so very subtle. And before we know it, we can be all back into the world and we didn't even mean to do it. The attractions are there. They're always pulling us in. And God may have to chastise us. God may have to discipline us to get us to let go of the world. Here's another one to jot down. Self-satisfaction. You know, I could just be, you know, well, I'm just good where I am. I don't need to grow anymore. I'm happy. I'm lazy. I don't really want to grow anymore as a Christian. That's easy to do when you're old. I pray all the time, God, don't ever let me lose my hunger to grow. But if we get real self-satisfied, we stop advancing in our knowledge of God and in our relationship with the Lord. We just kick back. We get satisfied. We don't seek God like we need to. But as the years go on, year by year, our Christian lives ought to be able to say we know God better than we used to know God. We should be able to say we love Him more than I've ever loved Him before. And the danger is just to forget Him because we're so interested in ourselves and our own experience. And God, in His infinite love, won't let us stay there. He'll come. He'll discipline us to bring us back to Himself. Now, when I understand these things, I can even thank God when God has to discipline me, because He's lovingly drawing me to Himself. Now, can you see why certain things, things which were unpleasant, things which make you feel very unhappy at the time as they happen to you, you can look back and you can join in with what the psalmist said. Look at your handout in Psalm 119:71. Here's what his testimony is. He said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." And you see, God does that with us, that we may grow in regards to Christ. Now, if you back up in the chapter in Hebrews, before he gets into this subject of discipline, look what it says in verse 1. He says this in verse 1 of chapter 12, very same chapter. He says, now let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, girls, if we would just always do that, if we would just run the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus, discipline would not be necessary. All would be well. But I'm afraid we don't always do that, do we? And so God wants to produce qualities in our lives. Here's the first one that he's going to produce in us through discipline. It's humility. And this is really the crowning virtue. You know what humility says? Apart from you, I can do nothing. I'm totally bankrupt apart from you. It is the actual supreme characteristic of the Lord Jesus himself. He was meek, he was lowly in heart. And sometimes we have to be humbled in order to arrive at humility. Here's another one, heavenly mindedness. We're called to be heavenly minded, to set our heart on things above. Keep your affections on things above, not on the earth. And often God will discipline us to get our attention, to break our affection of the world. And that's the next one, to help us refocus toward heaven. He'll show us that the things of the world, listen, they can change in a New York minute. They're fragile. They can be snapped in a second. You don't dare want to put your confidence in the world. And he'll cause us to suddenly wake up to the fact, you and I are only pilgrims here. We're only passing through. We should be heavenly minded. You know, the experiences we go through, God never wastes anything in our lives. He doesn't. And the hard times you've gone through, it's there and it's your experience, but here's the result of it. It will help you to sympathize with other people who are going through the very same thing. Has that happened to you? That happened to me just last week. I was with a lunch at a girl who was going through a very hard time. Just so happens. She said, Teresa, can you have lunch with me? It just so happens that the very same thing she was going through is something that I myself had gone through. And God knew that. And I could encourage her. It was a hard time. It is a hard time that she's going through. But I can say, stay with God. Don't rebel. He's going to bring you through. You can sympathize with other people. You can infuse hope into their hearts. Now, what are the wrong ways of reacting to discipline? We're almost through. Let's look at a few of them. I'm pulling these out of the scripture I just read to you. Write the first one down. It's the danger of regarding it lightly. God's discipline comes, and you just don't pay any attention to it. You shake it off as something light. You don't take it seriously. You don't even let it affect you at all. It's like water off of a duck's back. Instead of weighing it, instead of considering it, instead of allowing it to do its work in your life, you do everything you can to shake it off, to get rid of it, to laugh it away because you don't like it. And the problem is when things do go wrong and when God is disciplining us and we don't pay attention and we deliberately ignore it, we don't let it disturb us, that's a very dangerous place for us to be in. Here's the second wrong reaction. First one is what? Treat it lightly. Just ignore it. Here's the second one. I'm pulling this out of our scripture. It is to faint. To faint. When we are approved by God. Faint. F-A-I-N-T. I'm pulling that out of verse 5. This is a danger when the hard time comes or God is disciplining me. I just throw up my hands and I give up and I feel hopeless. And something happens and I just can't bear it. And I faint under it. And I just get utterly discouraged. And I wonder, oh, why is this happening? And I start complaining. And I start thinking, God, you're not fair. And I grumble and I complain and I have a grudge. And these Christians these Hebrew Christians were doing this. And so he writes, faint not. Don't faint. Don't let despair come into your life. And here's the third way. We're going to jump down to verse 15 to see this one, but write it down first, and then we're going to read that verse. And it's this, becoming bitter. You can treat it lightly. You can get so discouraged and faint under it, or you can just become a bitter old woman. Look at verse 15. Same chapter. The writer says this. Now you see to it. You pay attention. You make sure this doesn't happen with you. It's up to you. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it many be defiled. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a bitter woman, everybody in your world is going to be touched by your bitterness. It's like a ripple in a pond. Is that not true? And he says, you better make sure this doesn't happen to you. But that's how a lot of people react to trials. Can a Christian become bitter? Can they? Oh, yes. And you know, you're going to get in that position. God's going to discipline you. You're not a very good advertisement for God if you're bitter. You'll just turn inward. You'll start to begin to feel like the whole world is against you when bitterness enters your soul. And by the way, it will show up on your face. Bitterness gets written on our faces. Now, things happen in life. Circumstances come. You know, my trials aren't your trials. Your trials aren't my trials. God is carefully orchestrating all of our lives. We can trust Him. He knows just how to deal with each one of His children. They come to us. They test us to our very depths. They show us that we're really children of God. But it's sad to think that a child of God would get a root of bitterness. So, I've got to say, God, am I guilty of any one of those reactions? Do I treat it lightly? Do I shake it off? Do I faint under it? Or am I becoming bitter? We're going to have to face it the right way. That's the wrong way. Let's talk about the right way and then we're done. I'm almost through. Go back to verse 5. Look at that verse. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. That word son there is a word for a grown-up son, an adult. And so write this down. We must learn to behave as sons and not infants. Children are childish. They're going to always think your discipline is unfair, it's harsh, it's undeserved. But an adult pulls themselves together. They don't react in a childish way. And so he says, be adults. Stop fainting. Stop whimpering. Stop crying. Stop acting like a child and sulking. We need to act as adults. And then we're given a number of exhortations. Look at that verse again. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you. That word exhortation is another word for instruction of Scripture. Now look at me. He's writing the Hebrews. Who are the Hebrews? Who are they? They're the nation of Israel. These are Hebrew Israel people who have come to Christ and they've become Christians. And he says, don't forget your scripture. Don't forget the exhortations that have been given to you in the Scriptures. You've known the Scriptures your whole life. Listen, if you just read the book of Proverbs alone, there's enough exhortation in that one book to keep you from falling into the three traps that we just went through. And he's saying to them, look, you know God's word. Now apply what you know. Be strong. Stand up. Be adults. Talk to yourself. Whenever things happen as Christians, we are to take everything and put it immediately into the context of the word of God. And remember his words of exhortation. We have the Bible to fall upon. We must learn to take every circumstance to the word of God. But how often we are so guilty of just acting like the world acts, of forgetting that we're God's daughters and we have his word. We've got to listen and follow the arguments of the word of God. Because it is an exhortation addressed to us as sons and daughters. Now that word addressed there, let me give you a little bit of a deeper understanding of what he's saying. He's saying a better translation would be reasoning. Reason with the scripture. It could even be this, argue with the scripture. Learn to lean into the word of God. Follow the argument of the Word of God. And so this morning, I want you to understand, discipline comes from God because you're his child. He's doing it for your good. And that's the argument here that you've got to grasp. So I'm not going to faint. And I'm not going to just forget about it. I'm not going to become discouraged and bitter because God is involved in me, in my life. God is allowing this in my life. I can trust God with my life. Now that's how you reason with the scripture. You don't just react. You have a whole different attitude. Now look at verse 11 on your handout. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Yet to those who have been trained by it. You see, the only people who are going to benefit, listen to me, are the ones who are willing to be trained by it. And so let's write it on our handout. It's for the ones who submit to God's treatment. They don't become bitter. They don't shake it off. They don't faint under it. None of that will do you any good. But if I will submit to it, and if I will trust God in it, that's the process. And it's a picture here of a gymnasium where you go and you go get trained in the gym. And the ones who are trained by it, that word means to be exercised. And put that on your handout. So trials become our spiritual fitness center, girls. So when the trial comes, you know what? I'm just going to get in that gym for training. And the first thing I'm going to do is talk to myself. And I'm going to say, Lord, why is this happening? Lord, I want to examine myself. Have I been going astray somewhere? Do I have a wrong attitude? Why is this happening? Have I been negligent somewhere? And usually, the Holy Spirit will nail you. He'll put his finger right on the problem. He'll let you know the cause. It's part of your training. It's part of your spiritual exercise. Go straight to God. Do business with God. And then what will happen? Afterwards, look, it will yield something in your life. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. Oh, I love that. I love that. I want the peaceful fruit of righteousness to reign in my life. Amen, don't you? But Teresa, this is so hard. Well, let me show you how important it is. Look at verse 14. I want to show you why it's so important that you learn to fight this battle and think rightly. Verse 14 says, Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification. That's the process of making you holy. And then notice what it says, without which no one will see the Lord. You see, everybody who's saved is going to have to go to the gym, girls, and exercise. God is putting us in this training to make us holy. So recognize this. Don't get angry about it. Don't get bitter about it. Don't faint. Don't ignore it. Don't treat it lightly. Just get in that gym. Get in that spiritual gymnasium. Get busy. Submit to your trainer. And it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. And joy will abound. It'll abound in you and through you, and your life will count for the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, go out of here and think rightly about the discipline of God in your life. Don't resist Him. Don't resist Him. Trust Him. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You that You are a good Father. You love us. You have plans for us. You want to perfect us and mature us and use us. You want us to be walking around filled with the peaceful fruit of righteousness in our lives. And so, Father, we just submit to You. Help us to stay heavenly minded. Help us not to be self-satisfied or proud. God, help us to humbly come before You. Get ourselves in the gym and be trained, Father, that we might be useful women in Your kingdom. Help us to think biblically this morning. Help us not to be blindsided when discipline comes. Help us to recognize it, to ask questions, to deal with it, and to let it have its work in our lives. And so we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. All right, I'll see you next week.